Okay, I think we might get started now. So this presentation is How Does Your Scheme Measure by Hardik Dalal and Vincent Chet. I'll just give the guys a brief introduction and then I'll let them get into it. So first up we have Hardik, the guy standing over there. Hardik's a senior manager in the financial services group of EY. He has over 7 years of experience. He has worked with insurers in both Australia and New Zealand and also for several government insurer schemes. Hardik has experience in scheme valuations, pricing, financial projections and remuneration reviews across workers' compensation, CTP and medical indemnity for a variety of clients across general insurance, including government agencies. And most recently, Hardik has been involved in the costing of the proposed New South Wales CTP reforms. The other guy sitting down is Vincent. Stand up. There he is. Vincent also works for EY. He's been there for 6 years. He's worked with the insurers both in Australia and New Zealand and for several government agencies and insurers schemes. Recently, he's been involved in the benefit design and costing of the proposed New South Wales CTP reforms and also the impact of journey claims on the New South Wales CTP scheme due to the 2012 workers' comp legislation amendments. So over to you guys.
Thanks, Con, and thanks, everyone, for coming to our presentation. Which focuses on the level of disclosure provided by the public disclosure provided by the schemes in Australia, and hopefully it cures a bit of the 330-itis, which I'm sure we're all going to be feeling this afternoon, given it's almost the end of the seminar. So the agenda for today is pretty straightforward, but I'll go through it. So a bit of background as to sort of why we're investigating this topic and what we're trying to look at. What we want to get out of this, or what we want you to get out of the presentation and any subsequent discussions. What we've actually done, our findings in relation to Australian schemes, and we've also looked at some international schemes. Then a bit of discussion around what else could be publicly disclosed by Australian schemes. And obviously with that comes some pros and cons, and we'll have some discussion on that. And then what could happen next. So some background. So the context of this presentation is, I guess, in all of our interactions with schemes, we've got this understanding that most of our schemes in Australia, all of them, like to operate on a commercial basis or commercial best practice. And in the commercial world in recent times, private insurers have had several changes to their disclosure requirements. One of these changes has come about due to the introduction of LAGIC, which is new reformed capital requirements in the general insurance life insurance space, which has introduced various additional disclosure requirements under what's called the Pillar 3 arm of the regulatory change. Furthermore, earlier this year, APRA introduced put out into the industry a consultation paper on disclosing more information about the performance of insurers that they collect and disclosing that publicly. And some of the reasons I believe they've given for that additional disclosure is because it's in the public interest and it could influence market behaviour in a positive manner. Also, in some conversations we've had with some of our colleagues overseas, the impression we've got is quite a few of the overseas schemes, at least that we believe, provide a bit more disclosure than some of the Australian schemes. Also, within other areas of government, you'd be aware that the federal government's increased their level of disclosure, for example, with the National Schools website and things like that. So bringing all of this together, it appears that there may be an emerging theme of more disclosure within the private sector and then potentially within injury schemes. Or on the flip side, there may be a need over time for injury schemes to disclose more. However, it should be recognised that the same reasons for disclosure in a private sector environment versus a public or an injury scheme environment are not necessarily, it's not always the same reasons. So the purpose of our presentation, our paper today, is to really generate some discussion and debate amongst everyone here and hopefully other people who are able to have a look at it later on. Today we specifically want to focus on the level of public disclosure about the performance of service providers that interact with the schemes. So we're not focusing on specifically on scheme performance disclosures, but actually it is the service provider. So quite a focused topic. And this is that next layer of scheme operations. And the reason we're focusing on that is because within the schemes, I guess you've got multiple providers available within each category. So, for example, with insurers or with agents, with medical providers or with legal providers. And therefore, we believe if schemes provide sufficient information to the stakeholders and the participants, then stakeholders may be able to make a more informed decision where they do have a choice at that level of interaction with the scheme. Because, in essence, stakeholders don't actually have a choice in terms of what scheme they can interact with, obviously, because they're bound by which state they are either an employer in or they own a car in. So the way we've gone about this task is essentially it's a bit of research around what's been publicly disclosed by Australian schemes and international schemes in relation to the performance of these service providers. Well, the approach I've just described, so that's just re-emphasising it. As you'd appreciate, we've recognised that there are different scheme structures within Australia, so you've got some government monopolies, some hybrid schemes, and some privately underwritten schemes across both workers' comp and CDP. And what we've tried to do is review the level of disclosure across those schemes in Australia and in similarly structured schemes overseas, and hence to able to basically look at what are some of the differences and therefore if are there any learnings from the overseas schemes or are there any learnings for both schemes, for both sets of schemes. That's just a nice map because we thought it looked good, but it basically summarises that for both CDP and Workers' Comp, you've got the broad range of different schemes across the three categories, which I'm sure pretty much in here everyone will be familiar with. I would emphasise at this stage that the findings that we do present very shortly, they're not specific to any one particular scheme, but it's more about the category of scheme, so CDP and Workers' Comp. So before we started assessing the Australian schemes, based on our experience and discussion with I guess, our colleagues, we sort of came up with a list of areas we thought it'd be useful to have information on for these service providers in order to enable sort of the participants in the schemes to make a more informed decision. In terms of sort of the insurers and the agents, we felt metrics relating to their price, their profitability, the efficiency value of their product, the claims management related metrics, the disputation rate and the remuneration performance would be useful metrics that would provide powerful insights into scheme participants as to essentially how those providers operate in the scheme. With medical providers, we've investigated whether schemes disclose metrics in relation to their prescribed rates, the actual charge rates, the service categories available, and the injury recovery rate. And similarly for legal providers, prescribed rates and charge rates, and also their success rate. So with all these metrics, I should clarify that what we're trying to look at is do the schemes disclose how one insurer compares to another insurer, rather than at an aggregate scheme level, what's the aggregate price or the average price. I guess I'm sure everyone would have realised, but we're not saying that all of these metrics are in any way, shape or form easily measurable or absolutely purely comparable across different providers. But it's a bit of a wish list and then a basis by which we sort of did our research. And so now onto the results. So with Australian schemes, when we looked at the government monopoly schemes, we only looked at metrics relating to the medical providers and the legal providers because obviously there's no choice as such in terms of the insurer or the agent. And what we found was that across both CDP and workers' comp, it was primarily just the prescribed rates for these two categories of service providers that were available, at least what we were able to source from publicly available information. So there wasn't any information provided in relation to the last three categories. For either the medical or the legal providers. For the second category of schemes being the hybrid schemes, so once again we looked at the medical and legal provider metrics and also added the agent-specific metrics. And what we found was for workers' comp, there is information provided around agents' claims management performance relative to each other, and also information regarding the prescribed rates. In CDP, we didn't find that to be the case. But similar to the government monopoly, there wasn't really any other information on the medical provider or the legal provider metrics. In relation to the privately underwritten scheme, more or less similar metrics to the previous, except now we're looking at insurers rather than agents. And for CDP, we found that insurer prices are disclosed, so you can actually do a comparison across the insurers. Not necessarily so for workers. Similar to the hybrid schemes, there is performance. There is disclosure of insurer performance. In this case, we're looking at either return to work rates or time to settlement, depending on whether it was a workers' comp or a CDP scheme, respectively. So those are sort of the key findings across the three scheme structures across Australia. And the question, I guess, we have is, well, should the level of disclosure be different or the same across these three scheme categories, given that there doesn't appear to be much difference, at least based on our findings? So I'll leave that question with you, and we can probably discuss that in the question and answer section. And it's also relevant to later on where we give some ideas around what could be additionally disclosed.
So next we look at the overseas schemes. We've looked at a selected number of samples overseas. In particular, we focused on the US and Canadian regions. So for a comparable view, we've looked at similar schemes, as Hanek has mentioned, and sort of the scheme structures as we've looked at across Australia. As you're probably aware, overseas it is quite common for bodily injuries to be combined or bundled with the motor insurance. So we found that obtaining a scheme-level disclosure for these to be quite difficult to obtain. So as such, we've sort of mainly focused on workers' compensation for the level of disclosure for service providers. So first we've looked at the US government monopoly schemes. On a service level, provider level, only prescribed rates were actually available, scheduled fees. The level of disclosure is actually quite similar to comparable schemes in Australia, and as you can see, is actually quite limited. For the next, we look at the US privately underwritten schemes. Now, on a service provider level, only insurance premium rates and the scheduled fees are actually disclosed, and there doesn't appear to be to disclose any information on performance of the service providers. Now, our final overseas comparison was to the Canadian schemes. Now, of the larger populated states, it appears that most of them are operated by governments or are government operated, and they're generally non-litigious, so therefore the legal provider stats are quite somewhat irrelevant. But what is actually disclosed is that the on a service level, service provider level, are again the scheduled rate fees, medical rates for workers' compensation. I suppose, interestingly, for CTP, those are actually not disclosed. But speaking to a few Canadian colleagues, it appears that they have an all-in-one service. So therefore, on a service level provider, on a service provider level, it doesn't really matter because it's all being provided by the government anyway. So therefore, in terms of choice, it doesn't really matter as much. So based on our review of both Australian and overseas schemes, it appears that the level of disclosure on performance are very similar and very limited. So, but is this an appropriate approach? It is worthwhile asking that are the level of public disclosure on a service provider level sufficient?
So that's another question to keep in the bank for the discussion later. So what does all this mean? We sort of tried to, you know, obviously we're trying to get something useful out of the exercise. Firstly, we thought about what could be publicly disclosed. And if you recall back some of the slides earlier, we sort of had a wish list of what we thought, of what we were investigating, whether schemes did disclose them. Based on the research, as you would have seen, it is quite limited, but this is sort of the few metrics we believe would be of particular use to scheme participants to enable them to make more informed decisions. So in relation to insurers or agents, metrics relating to profitability, the claims management performance, which was being reported for most of the schemes that we looked at, and their disputation rate, we felt would be of particular value to scheme participants. In relation to sort of the medical providers, we felt the injury recovery rate would be of particular value. However, we fully appreciate that's actually quite a complicated metric when you think about it, given that quite a lot of claimants, particularly though they've got serious injuries, they'll actually be receiving services across multiple providers, and therefore it's very difficult to categorise at which stage sort of a provider's undertaken their service, and therefore they can be classified as achieving recovery. What was interesting was earlier this week there was an article in the news that NIB is about to launch a website this week which enables a comparison of rates for allied health providers. So it will be interesting to see how that works, and that might provide some level of insight as to how medical provider performance could be compared. In terms of legal providers, we thought characteristics were relating to how successful they are for their claimants, which obviously is potentially not to the benefit of the schemes themselves, and also the percentage of settlement amount that they received by claimant. Once again, as sort of the statement at the bottom says, you know, the actual level of public disclosure will absolutely depend on the availability of data, the quality of it, and how easily it can be collected and how consistently can be collected across different service providers. And we're under no doubt that some of the metrics that we have sort of recommended or suggested will not necessarily be easily measurable. But it's worthwhile looking at what are the advantages and disadvantages of disclosing those additional metrics.
So, for advantages, first and foremost, stakeholders are more informed, so they can make better choices. They can manage their expectation in terms of they're more aware of the level of service they can get and sort of what are the success rates of these service providers, etc. And for claimants and policyholders, this may lead to better experience with the scheme itself. For service providers, firstly, it leads to greater accountability. And furthermore, it encourages consistent best practices in order to maintain reputation. And in addition, it actually encourages and may encourage innovation in new areas to differentiate themselves and their services against their competitors. On a scheme level, this may lead to better measurement of a scheme objective, and also it may stop fringe providers from exploiting the market.
But obviously there are some disadvantages to this, and a lot of them are actually just the flip side of some of the advantages that Vincent just referred to. So it may actually reduce competitive advantage, because if the performance of service providers is reported, the other providers in the industry may realise, you know, our competitors are performing a certain way and there's a reason they're doing that, and they may essentially, there's an incentive there, or there's a recognition there for them to realise where they can, how they can improve their performance. This may then lead to reducing the incentive to innovate potentially, which would obviously be to the detriment of the schemes and the experiences of stakeholders with the schemes. The next two are, I'm sure, top of mind for everyone. At face value, this represents extra administrative burden for schemes as well as the service providers. To the extent that this information isn't already collected by schemes, obviously we've only looked at what's been disclosed rather than what is collected. And obviously any extra administrative burden leads to extra costs for all parties involved. The one on the bottom left, it may actually lead to some service providers leaving the scheme because they're not comfortable with the level of disclosure. And that may be exacerbated if there is uninformed analysis on the data that is disclosed. So critical here will be that when that information is disclosed publicly, the schemes provide appropriate commentary as to how the results should be analysed and observed and taken into account. So what's next? So I think we had a view every good presentation should have some sort of process diagram, so that's what we've got here. This is one approach of what could happen next. Next could be more disclosure, but it may not be, and that's why we put a question mark there. So we believe there should be obviously some level of discussion at management level within the schemes. And then some research needs to be conducted as to what actually can be collected in terms of what data is available and what would be of use. That would feed into a level of stakeholder consultation, once again, to understand what's actually of most value to the scheme participants. Following that, could have conduct a cost-benefit analysis once having realised what are sort of the main metrics the scheme does want to focus on potentially disclosing. That would lead to potentially board and management discussion, sort of getting towards the phase of deciding what we are going to finalise. Finally, needs a level of implementation plan and a transitional implementation of any additional public disclosure. On that slide, we've sort of shown the process as one directional, but it's probably going to be iterative across quite a few of those steps. But they're sort of the key steps we believe should be considered if there are any additional disclosures or even investigations whether additional disclosures should be provided publicly regarding the performance of service providers. And that brings us to an end. So there are our contact details if after the forum would like to have another chat or get in touch with us. So thank you.
Okay, so thanks, guys. We've got time for some questions, so if anyone has any questions, feel free to go up to the mic, or alternatively I can pass this mic over to you guys. Any questions?
Yeah, Tony Mobbs. This debate is seems very relevant because it was addressed by the accounting profession about 15 years or so, maybe even 20 years ago. We had ever-increasing company disclosures, and then the pendulum went too far, and then it sort of had to come back again. And it was all around those issues of competitive advantage and losing one's competitive advantage in the main. I wonder if you could somehow add that sort of experience into your analysis as a future effort.
Yeah, agree. I think we fully realise that. On that next step slide, we had what the schemes could do, but one prior step to that is probably a bit more additional research and how historically experience has been in terms of disclosing more information. So very valid comment, Tony. Thanks.
Any other questions? I might just pop in and ask a question. One of the things you mentioned was that, say, ranking some metrics, say, for example, for service providers and things like that. I think one of the issues I have with that is whenever you start measuring something, people will focus on doing whatever's in that metric, and if what they do encompasses many things but the metric only measures a fraction of it, then they'll put all their efforts into that to make that look good, so especially if they're being ranked on that metric. Any thoughts on that?
Trying to give equal opportunity here to the speakers. I agree, and which is why I guess we believe that if you just put the league table up or anything like that on its own, it can be very misleading and drive misleading behaviour either from the service providers or even conclusions drawn by the scheme participants. So definitely a level of commentary and discussion needs to be provided by the schemes to explain what the results mean and how they should be provided. And I think probably what is drawing out of this discussion is in relation to medical metrics, probably consultation with the medical providers to work out what are meaningful metrics which don't lead to behaviour that's counter to the scheme's objectives and to the benefit of the stakeholders.
Okay, I might just pop in with another question here. So I'm guessing in the course of your research, you would have read a lot of different scheme papers from various countries. Were there any that you thought came close, or do you think it's a bit, you need a bit of everything?
Came close
to having what you, you know, the disclosures you wanted.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. Well, when we looked at overseas, it was interesting that on a service level provider sort of level, that level of disclosure was actually quite limited in most overseas countries. However, on a scheme level, it was actually quite different. But I guess our focus for this paper wasn't on a scheme level, so we didn't really comment on that.
I think that's right. So it was quite a it's quite a focused area of research that we looked to conduct, and there was more information available at the scheme level, particularly for a lot of those injury statistics and time to settlement and RTW rate statistics. To an extent, we were a bit surprised almost that, so because that wish list we sort of set up at the start, and we didn't want to adjust it to make it appear like the schemes were performing, or the schemes were reporting at the full level, so it was a wish list, and it stayed a wish list, I think.
Do you think the schemes purposely give different disclosures so it makes it harder to rank them? You don't have to answer that.
You're trying to get us in trouble? I don't know. So I guess we didn't conduct interviews or the like with the individual scheme representatives for this part of the research, so that could be the next stage as well. It was purely looking at what is publicly disclosed and what's available to the layman on the street.
So, anyone else got any questions? No, I think everyone wants more afternoon tea. Okay, so I'd like to thank Hardik and Vincent again. So thank you, guys.